Antifreeze. Don't drink that.
Why?
Because it'll kill you.
Oh.
This message brought to you by the United States Department of Condescending Paternalism.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 26 of Chat with a Cat. I am your host, Wig Nosey, and this week we have another special guest. Everyone say hello to the GM of the Golden State Warriors, Greeple. Greeple, say hello to the people out there.
Hey, everybody. It's an absolute pleasure to be on my sim childhood dreams of Chat with a Cat.
We're glad to have you, and I'm sure both of our listeners will be extremely excited to hear you. This podcast is being recorded following sim number 2 of season 5. That's the 84-85 season. And I figured we would jump right in with way too early overreactions to what's going on in the league. If it's okay, I'll start. Oh my gosh, the Lakers are going 77-5. I don't really believe that, but the Lakers are off to a very hot start. Their off-season moves have really, you know, they didn't make a ton of moves per se. It was more bringing everybody back after not being able to get over the hump last year. And then Magic took a ridiculous jump in training camp, which makes them even more scary. All that said, because this is mostly the same team that was here last year, I do expect them to come back to the pack a little bit. I think they'll look a little better than last year's squad because, you know, a couple of their guys got better. But there wasn't a significant structural change that suggests to me they're going to keep on winning 95% of their games. So that is my first overreaction. How do you feel about that?
Well, before we get too far ahead, I do want to circle back to Magic's jump. Now,
sure.
I'm not surprised based on how he's performed thus far, but can we highlight a little bit of how much he has jumped? Because not that fairness necessarily has any place in Sim League, but what the hell?
Sure, I can bring up the player pages side by side if we'd like to look at them here, which I know is great for a podcast where there's no actual visuals, but you know, it is the best we can do, right? So last season, if I'm looking at Magic, his inside was 86, his jump shot was 97, his three-point shooting was 54. So that's just his offense. This season, it's 91-100, and his three-point shooting is up to 58. Handles stayed the same at 93-100, but his offensive and defensive rebounding went up from 60-71 to 66-79. Defense improved from 58-70 up to 64-74. Steals couldn't go up. They were already at 100. But his blocks went up from 39-37, so he's gone from being scary to ridiculously scary.
I think that what I will note is that the potential bans jumped. So his block was a ceiling of a D. It's now a ceiling of a C. He had 1, 2, 3 C potential ban ratings and 3-point shooting. Oh, offensive rebounding and post defense, and those are all B now. So it wasn't just a leap. It was probably one of the greater TCs in Sim League history. So as far as overreactions go, oh my God.
Yeah, well, I guess he wants to make sure he keeps the initials MJ referring to him.
Boy, howdy.
The other thing I think is kind of funny as I look at his potentials now, I'm looking, you know, he's got a B post defense, a B defensive rebounding, and that must be at the upper edge of B because it's a 79.
Yeah.
The question I will ask is he the best power forward in the league?
Well, I would say yes, except he has slid back to small forward now. So I don't know if... Lazy Titan is going to keep him at small forward or make a few more adjustments. It looks like he's been playing Larry Smith at the starting power forward slot, if I'm not mistaken. But he can't stay on the floor. So I because he's fouling too much. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's got Magic leaning back to power forward, but he's certainly the best small forward in the league, and could be the best power forward. And while we're overreacting, the best dang point guard too.
One of the other things that this is less an overreaction and more an observation with the Lakers is by playing Davis, Nixon, and Johnson, if you round their assist totals off, you're looking at 11, 10, and 10. So you're getting 31 assists a game just out of those three guys. And that, to me, explains how the Lakers are destroying people. They're getting good looks. And it's something I don't think we've seen it yet in Sim League. We've seen the archetype of the one really good passing point guard in the Maurice Cheekses or the Johnny Moores of the world. We haven't seen somebody trying to run three, not even two, and we're seeing what it does. And the question is, how many copycats are bound to follow?
That's a great question. When they first completed the Magic trade, I memed them for having a four point guard team. They traded away World Be Free, so it is what I would call a three point guard team. However, with them all starting, it is the first true high motion offense that we have seen in the new era of Sim League. With great effect. Like you said, they're getting great looks. While I had joked about it, there are plenty of teams that I think would probably be willing to trade a lot for any one of these point guards. So, good on Lazy Titan for that.
Yeah, we'll see whether or not he decides he's okay with what he's got, or whether he continues trying to trade to continue to drop and shed tax. I guess we'll see. But it's certainly a team to contend with. So I'll throw it back to you. What is your first big overreaction of the early season?
Well, that was certainly a shared overreaction. I think my next biggest overreaction would be, oh my God, the Hawks did a lot and they're still terrible.
Want to explain?
Well, I definitely had some chats with the syndicate in the off season on some deals. Nothing came to fruition between us, but I think they look really good in picking up Jamal Wilkes for Jeff Ruland. I thought personally, despite the age difference, that was a bit of a lopsided trade in the Hawks' favor. I think Clark Kellogg is a really good piece theoretically, but not really performing up to where I thought he might. I would say the same of Charles Barkley, who, while a rookie, I kind of expected bigger numbers from him. And I ultimately expected a lot more wins after two sims, but that is the overreaction on closer inspection. Their last sim had one win, and it was the only game they played at home. So that was a tough run. I think they could and probably should get better, but I think this is a team that is still a bit undercooked for all their activity in the off season.
Yeah, to me, Clark Kellogg reminds me of being part of this balanced breakfast where you see it with orange juice and toast and eggs and bacon, and the cereal bowl is just part of it. I think, Kellogg may have gotten a little overhyped last season, putting up empty calorie numbers on a bad team. I will say, for me anyway, I'm not super surprised that Barkley isn't scoring as much as maybe people would like, just because that jump shot score at 19 is so low. If he's not getting something at the basket, he's going to struggle. And I think his turnovers reflect that as well. You know, he's leading the league in turnovers right now at 4.5. But to me, the bigger picture here is I don't see, how to put it, I don't see why they traded away Elo. You know, they traded away Elo, I think, for it was either James Edwards or Clement Johnson, but they went big, and I thought they were just fine waiting for him to develop. I think I would have taken one more year while I'm taking my lumps while the Barkley, Harper, Elo trio develops. The other thing I will say, and I'm not trying to rub salt in the wounds here, is Eddie L. Johnson is no longer the guy. I think, you know, a couple of seasons ago, people might have mistaken him for a high-grade point guard. I think this season he's averaging 26 minutes and just 11 points. You know, 2 years ago he might have been great, but he has fallen off really quickly, which surprises me.
You know, as the GM that drafted Eddie L. Johnson in the creation draft, he was never all that he could have been. When I lost him in UFA to you, actually, it was a purposeful cutting of ties. On a team with Magic Johnson and Robert Parrish, this guy was shooting 15, almost 16 shots a game, and shooting 44% from the field. And 12 of those 16 shots were jump shots where he was shooting under 40%. And he really, really pissed me off. So, he's a frustrating player for sure. And, you know, from the last time that he played this many minutes on the Golden State Warriors, actually, he was playing worse than he is right now. Well, he's scoring more now, but I guess that would make sense without Moses Malone on your team.
Yeah, I'm almost tempted to say, might they be better to let Randy Whitman have his minutes so he doesn't take as many shots away from Barkley and Kellogg, and you know, see how that goes. And I think that's one thing to be aware of. You mentioned there's a purposeful cutting of ties. And we talked a little bit on the last pod with the JNR. Sometimes you have to be willing to let your guys go. And I think, you know, sometimes the best signings are the ones you choose not to make.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, and I love how you highlight on your pod that you don't want to talk about your own team too much. But while we're there, Robert Parrish is certainly that player on my team right now where it's like, without Moses Malone, do you make that signing? Do you not make that signing? Do you let him walk? Do you not let him walk? But this is the one area where Simley gets personal for me. He was an all-star center. He was a starting all-star center. And I got so many horrible offers for him. And of course he's going to decline. He's old, but he's still probably one of the top five centers in the league, making more money than probably any of the others. But at least for now, he's worth that money. So that was one on the fence about, but I'm still glad I made that signing. And if anybody else has an offer that's not disrespectful, feel free to give
it. So what I'm hearing is he's worth more than 15 points.
He's worth more than 15
points. Cash considerations. All right. Going back to my overreactions, I'm going to try to go east. I did the Lakers in the West. In the East, my overreaction, or my second overreaction, I guess, is going to be the Cavaliers. The Cavaliers are 6-11. They signed Moncrief to a max deal. They've had Paxson and Moncrief as kind of their wing tandem forever. Both of them have been repeat All-Stars. Rick Mahorn is good. The thing that makes me, I won't say I'm surprised, because I thought Clement Johnson and his defense and rebounding was an integral part of the Cavaliers squad, and I was surprised when he got away. But the thing that surprises me is how much the Cavaliers have committed over the salary cap, and they're not great. And I don't think the core of Mahorn, Paxton, and Moncrief has enough juice to get over the hump. And this kind of speaks to something I'm noticing in Sim League. I think in seasons 1 and 2, having 2 or 3 massive superstars to carry your team was enough. But what we're seeing with all of the talent pouring in draft after draft is now you need probably to go 6 deep. You need maybe 5 deep if you've got a kind of weak starter, but a great 6 man. I think that was, to go back to Lakers, that was the Lakers last year. They were a little bit weak at starting power forward, but they had Jamal Wilkes off the bench throwing in 25 a game. So, you got that kind of bench punch, who cares?
Right.
And so with the Cavaliers, I look at them and, Paxton is still doing great and Moncrief is great and Mahorn is pretty good and everybody else is not. Julius Erving, I think they probably wanted more out of him than they got, but, we knew he was going to be in decline at 34. And then where are the reinforcements coming from? So I think this is my early overreaction, obviously, but Moncrief's 27, Paxton's 27, Mahorn's 26, their starting point guard Johnny Davis is 29. They're not getting better. They're getting older.
Yeah.
And is it time, if they can't get it turned around in another sim or two, I think it's time to start thinking about blowing this up, and that's going to be hard because of their big salary commitments over the next 4 years.
Yeah, that's a really good point. This team does have incredible talent and is still stuck in the mud. You do want a big three in Sim League, and they have that, but supporting cast is necessary. And just looking up and down this roster, aside from Julius Erving, you got a lot of vet men's, and Ray Williams.
You want to wax poetic about him?
I just kind of discovered him. I think Ray Williams might actually be underutilized. Looking at the rest of this team, he's probably their fourth best player, and he's playing 15 minutes a game. I think maybe that's a missed opportunity, especially since he's got a couple years left on his deal. I think he could be providing a bit more of an offensive punch for them than is it Johnny Davis that they're using in his place? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the missed opportunity right there, is Ray Williams playing second fiddle to Johnny Davis. Is it going to change their fortunes? No. Is it going to stop them from being 5 games under 500? Possibly. If I were them, I would look into that.
Absolutely. And now I'll kick it over to you. Do you have another team you want to overreact to? I have one in the chamber, so we'll see if you pick the same one.
Okay. The team that I've definitely been reacting to a lot on a few DMs and not necessarily publicly is the Spurs. They have Michael Jordan. Nobody else has Michael Jordan. They have Michael Jordan, and sure, he's young and has some time to grow, but I think we all kind of expected Michael Jordan to be the player that Magic Johnson currently is. And we can't expect that of him yet, especially when Magic is getting TC boosts and what have you. But this is a very scary team. It's a very deep team. It's a team full of wings and is perhaps a bit imbalanced in that way. But Unlike the Cavaliers, this team is not getting any worse. They're only getting better. And I think starting at 10-6 is a bit worse than I had anticipated. But I do think anyone with the Spurs on their upcoming sin schedule should be very, very scared.
Yeah, I'll make two observations about the Spurs. Number one, I'm upset at them because they're disproving my theory that you can't have three 20-point a game scorers. They have four.
That's true.
The other thing that I think is interesting to look at with the Spurs, if I look at the Midwest Division right now, they're sitting on a point differential of 9.1, and things are early, so the point differentials are going to move still a little bit. But with the Kings posting a 2.8 and the Mavericks posting 1.3 and everybody else significantly negative, that bodes very well for their ability to capture the division by the end of the season. So if I was the Kings, I would be very, very much keeping an eye on my rearview
Very much bummed I traded them Mike Gminski,
mirror.
who I will add is the defensive player in the year and one of the players scoring over 20 points a game.
Fair enough. All
Woof.
right, I'm going to go back to my last overreaction, and I'm not sure if my last overreaction is the Bucks or it's the Bucks complaining about the benching of Dennis Johnson by the Celtics. If we want overreactions, there we go. I do think this is something that is getting some chatter and getting some buzz, and I think it's only going to get louder until there are actual tangible anti-tanking things put in place. I can see, forgetting to get into DC in Sim 1 and Dennis Johnson doesn't start, but we're going on Sim 3 and it's clear, it's deliberate, and to me I don't like to tell people how to run their teams, but this messes with the competitive integrity of the league. On the other hand, is it going to help them immensely in terms of attracting free agents come free agency? I don't know. All those guys that want to play for a winner are going to be looking at you sideways. But I think, if there's a complaint I've had with the commissioner's office, and some may think it is a strength, but they've been very, very slow to react to perceived issues. I could have pointed out last season that Mark Aguirre sat for a lot of the season, and that's probably why the Suns had Michael Jordan. And I'll hear, "Oh yes, he was injured." Well, he was injured the last five sims of the season, and he was still sitting. And I noticed the Suns after they traded Kelly Trapucca my way. Now, I sat the players that I traded to them for the one sim before, but they were all on my bench anyway. And we, I think, went undefeated that season or that sim. So I don't want to hear anybody saying I was trying to tank. We won every game. I don't know how much anti-tanking you can do, but the Suns never re-enabled them, and so did they get a better draft pick because of that? I don't know. So I think it's something, and this is something that I picked up. Okay, I'm feeling old. 15 years ago, in real time, not 15 sim seasons ago, is that generally, I know the PBSL was kind of founded as an open, transparent league because of the shenaniganery of the original PR report commissioner, which is fine, but I've found it is, at least in my experience, a little bit better to have a commissioner that acts as the commissioner only and is not the GM, so they don't have skin in the game. And then, they can make these kind of rulings and nobody can accuse them, "Oh, you're trying to make your own team better, or you're trying to improve your own position." Not to say that the Sonics are doing a bad job right now. I think he's doing a great job. But there is always an inherent worry that, if I step in, people can accuse me of doing stuff for my team, whereas if the commissioner is fully and completely independent by having no team at all, I think it frees them up to make those kinds of decisions. Am I volunteering to be the commissioner? Probably not. Not
And
yet.
that's
At
the
some point,
thing,
I
right? And
do.
that's the thing. I mean, I think that is tough. If we had like a Sim League dungeon master of sorts, I think that would be great for the league. I think that would be rough for the commissioner. Is it tough to both manage a team and the league? Sure. Is it more fun? I would guess so. I think we all have an interest in this to win, and that interest has to stay there. For the kinds of problems that were going on at the end of last era Sim League, I haven't paid too much of problem to or too much attention to these problems that are coming up right now, just because, well, there aren't multiple GMs who are saying they've been aggressed upon asking for pictures and whatnot. So this era of commissioning, I think, is going fairly well. I hadn't realized that Aguirre wasn't taken off of IR at the after his injury came up. So I guess I've been missing this level of tanking. But I've also been looking at commissioning with a much less critical eye than I might have, having not gone through the end of the last Sim League.
Yeah, it this is less a criticism of David, and more a criticism of the conflicts of interest that a commissioner can have. And it takes a very special weirdo to be a commissioner without having a team in the league. Those that were on the Discord chat were probably looking at JNR talking about, LOL Sim League, and that's kind of how I got brought in. Was they discovered one of the old Sim Leagues that I ran under another engine. I actually started out as a GM in that league for about the first, I don't know, 10 years of the league's existence, and just the constant infighting and accusations. I was like, okay, fine, I'm going to give up my team, and I'm just going to GM, and then, you've got nothing to hate on me for, oh, you're trying to do this to advantage your team. And that I did that for about 50 seasons before I finally, had to move on to other things. So I have been that weirdo in the past. I'm not ready to go there yet. I do think in some ways it's better. I won't say to have an enlightened dictatorship, but instead to have someone who isn't tied to a team, because as an example, we've been bandying around ideas. Do we want to have a hard cap? Do we want to have an apron? What do we don't want to do with luxury tax? And there have been several suggestions in the forums, and there's been nothing, and it's been years and years and years, and well, seasons and seasons and seasons. And at some point, as the commissioner, you kind of have to say, this is something that either we're not going to do, so please stop talking about it, or I want to see more, so continue, and once we get to a point where I think the idea is fully baked, we'll present it. But there needs to be feedback, and what I'm not seeing is feedback. And I think there are things that are, that people have frustrations about, whether it's the complaints about, well, should Ralph Sampson be allowed to train if he was voted MVP, and how come this person was voted MVP, and what about this, and what about that? Just, all the whining and complaining, which, part of it, is good-natured, but still, it's useful to have closure, I think, sometimes. So that's where I would go is, I don't need a resolution for resolution's sake per se, but I think it is helpful to get closure on these topics so you can tell people, okay, you've had your say, the decision has been made. Would you please move on to something else? I'm sick of hearing about Dennis Johnson is sitting.
I'm sick of hearing Doug complain that Ralph Sampson is not on his team.
Doug complaining in general rings a little bit hollow because you're the current reigning champion.
Yeah. Nobody forced you to trade Alton Lister, one of your key members of your
Yeah.
backcourt.
Speaking of Doug and that trade, one of the things that I thought was interesting, I was chatting with a GM who shall remain nameless, but he pointed out that Andrew Toney got zapped in training camp this year, and I looked, and yeah, he did. And the thing that struck me is, yes, he's 27. And yes, that's the last year the guy is eligible for boosts or destructions during training camp. But, and maybe Doug would argue, this wasn't one of my most important players. He's on a max contract, or if it's not a max contract, it's pretty darn close. I get, you have a top three or four draft pick and you want to protect that. At the same time, if that draft pick dies, that's 5% of your cap. Andrew Toney dies, and that's 25% of your cap. I don't understand why people don't prioritize putting points into protecting guys that training camp could slaughter that are on a max. It's a very specific niche, but you wouldn't do something that would absolutely cripple your cap unless it has to do with training camp. And that surprises me. I think, I will note that, this season I protected James Worthy, who's not on a max deal, but I also protected Greg Kelcer and I protected Bill Cartwright, who were on, they were on max deals when I signed them. They're obviously, the max has gone up since. They didn't get hit this year. They have gotten hit in the past, but I was fortunate and I got a couple of boosts this year, but most years I've gotten hits. And fortunately, training camp has saved my bacon, or training camp insurance has saved my bacon when I've taken hits. But this season, I kind of looked at it and I said, you know what? I got to protect the two guys that are taking up most of my cap. And I protect, the guy that I think has the most potential along my stars. And Worthy actually got hit in TC and got restored. So, do I think it was a good investment? I do. And was I willing to risk, having, let's say, a Thurl Bailey die, who was a draft pick just a year ago, or having Orlando Woolridge die? Well, or that happened last year. I didn't protect him and he died, but he's making a tiny percentage of the cap, and it sucks. But, these are the decisions you have to make. And for me, the answer is easy. Anybody who is on a max and could die, you have to protect.
Yeah,
I'm
absolutely.
shocked when people don't.
So, I had to go back and look at Coyle Mann's training camp situation here, and he paid to insure three people. So he insured in total Sleepy Floyd, Lewis Lloyd, Jeff Malone, Kevin McHale, Sam Perkins, and Alvin Robertson. All players that I would also want to insure. So I think Doug is probably in a position of, do I really want to spend 60 points on training camp? That is a hard pill to swallow, but that's also the makeup of your team. I think that is maybe where all those championship points could go to on a year when he didn't pay anything in tax. Because yeah, that Andrew Toney thing, I had totally missed that. But that is a player, even if you don't love him, that's a lot of money to be playing. What is it, 5 minutes off the bench right now? He's played five of 18 games. It's like benching,
That's a Timofey Mozgov contract, is what that is.
It's like Klay Thompson when he had his Achilles torn, or what the Celtics have to deal with
Tatum, yeah.
Tatum right now, just like all this money and it's not doing anything for you. It's a tough pill to swallow,
Yeah.
especially as reigning champs.
Yeah, and I think this is something that teams tend to want to do that I don't know that everybody always thinks through, is everybody always wants to say, I'm going to stockpile young players and I'm going to hope TC boosts them. And that's fine, But, as we talked about in the previous pod, it gets expensive in a hurry. The Spurs have a ton of good players, but I went back and listened to that pod, and I think I calculated 465. Well, I forgot they're going to get three free trainings a year, so it's really probably closer to 200. But it's still, that's a couple hundred points to make sure everybody meets their potential. And at some point, you have to wonder, will teams be willing to go with guys that are slightly older or slightly on the decline because they're not at risk of dying during training camp? I know I was very relieved this season, and I know you enjoyed having him last season, to get David Thompson,
Yeah.
because he turned 30, and I'm like, yeah, he might lose a little bit. But I know, 28, 29, 30 is kind of where they plateau, and then they start dropping off a cliff. And he did decline a little bit athletically this season, but it wasn't like he got destroyed, and I didn't have to pay points for that. I was very happy. I'm very happy that Bill Cartwright will be 28 next season, and I don't have to keep insuring him anymore.
Absolutely.
So, there is value in picking up players that are 27, 28, 29. You don't need a team of 23-year-olds because you can't insure them all.
You really can't. You really can't. I see. Got me looking at David Thompson now. I see his declines are basically putting him at the end of your bench right now. You didn't bid too much higher than I did to keep him. I didn't want to pay him as much as I had last season because his playoff performance was abysmal. But he was still a very valuable player to me. So,
He's at the end of my bench now,
yeah.
but he's insurance because I feel like, if Kelly Trepiuka or Greg Kelser ever gets hurt, he can step right in and give me that same kind of production. And so, yes, he's on the bench right now, but I would not feel uncomfortable if somebody went down, and maybe I'm still scarred from that first season when I lost Bernard King right before the playoffs, and I had to try to cobble together a lineup where I was trying to deal with how do I replace 25 points a game?
Somebody else on your bench that whether or not you knew, I put a bid on Jim Spanarkel like every season. I know you never really talk about your team on the pod, but you always just outbid me on Jim Spanarkel. So tell me about Jim Spanarkel. I mean, he always gets, about 20 minutes a game. Like what do you love about Jim Spanarkel? Because I think I know, and I think that's why I'm also bidding on him. But yeah, let's give this bench man a little shout out.
Now, I'm a little more sanguine on him this year because his field goal percentage is so low, but it probably goes back to the performance he did in the playoffs that first year when when I was dealing with a hurt Bernard King, where he went for 28.4 minutes per game and actually wound up winning me a couple games. He has a great free throw percentage, which I love because the rest of my team is not good at free throws, at least not good at making them. And the other thing that I really appreciate about him is the perimeter defense and steals. We're a team that has struggled to stop people, and I just think having a guy that I can bring in off the bench and trust to have decent his handles and passing aren't the best, but they're not awful either. His rebounding, especially for a guard, isn't awful. His defense is good. Up until this season, I thought his efficiency was okay. It's starting to decline a little bit now. If you look at his previous seasons, he was up around 1.5, 1.6 points per shot. He's now down to 1.3. That's obviously not nearly as good. But you look at his efficiency and his PER, he's efficient, and I love efficiency.
Yeah, I do too. This is your f fifth year with Jim. He's 27, so you raised this guy from a pup to now someone you don't even need to insure anymore. I mean, he's had quite a journey, and I guess I am surprised that his shooting percentage has tanked a little bit, but yeah, I like Jim.
Yeah, I attribute a lot of that to the law of small numbers. This was more or less the same team I brought back this season from last season, and except for James Worthy, who I mentioned took a hit in TC, got his potentials restored, but his currents were still down. Everybody else either improved or stayed the same, and were performing significantly worse than last season. So I have to think that's an anomaly, and it's going to even out.
Yeah, I would say so.
All right, with that, I think it's a good point to pause for a break. So we're going to play some of my lame commercials, and then we'll be back in a moment with the second half of Chat with a Cat.
Ice. Watch out.
Why?
Slippery.
Oh. This message brought to you by the United States Department of Condescending Paternalism.
Come on, kids. It's time to go to Sunday school.
Oh, Mom, do we have to?
Hey, kids, what's the matter?
Hey, look, it's God.
Gee, God, we want to learn about the Bible and stuff, but Sunday school's so boring.
I bet it wouldn't be so boring if you took along some Bible action figures.
Bible action figures?
That's right, Timmy. Now you can help Jesus carry his cross with his new Kung Fu action grip.
Out of sight!
And that's not all, Timmy. What's up with this crucifix? When you fold it this way,
it's a dinosaur!
Roar!
Hey, God, what about me?
Well, Brittany, how would you like to help Mary give birth to the Christ child?
But there's no room at the inn.
There may not be room at the inn, but there's plenty of room in Malibu Mary's split-level beach house.
Oh, wow. Look, Mom, a jacuzzi filled with holy water. Now Sunday school will be fun.
Yay!
God, I can't thank you enough.
That's right.
Hey, are you really God?
Why, yes, I am.
Celebrity voice impersonated. Look for the new Bible action figure, Larry the Leper, parts sold separately.
Welcome back to the second half of Chat with a Cat, episode 26. Again, we're here with the GM of the Golden State Warriors, Greeple, and we're now going to go through everybody's favorite part of the podcast, and that's where we talk about your team for about 60 seconds. So we're going to start in the Atlantic Division, and we're just going to kind of go down the standings and give some reactions, and I thought it would be kind of fun to talk about when we look at a team. What do we think about is the story of that team up to this point over the first five seasons? So, Greeple, we'll let you start in the Atlantic Division with the Bullets. What do you think about with the Bullets, and what do you think their prospects for the season are?
Sorry, you were breaking up a bit there. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you okay. This is great podcast or radio or whatever.
All right, Bullets. So the Bullets for me is Buck Williams is one of the most noticeable factors. More recently, the pairing of Buck and Larry Nance. But this is a GM I referred to Sim League, and I feel like this is the first time he has started to realize his true potential and full success in Sim League, and yet he hasn't gotten the results that I think he's deserved. I think he's put together an incredible team. I love this Bullets team. I remember playing Robert Parrish and Moses Malone against Larry Nance and Buck Williams and feeling like I got smoked and thinking, man, this team is scary. Now they have Tom Chambers. I think this team is just destined for greatness. I wonder at what point they're going to pivot away from, say, John Lucas, who may be on the latter half of this team's build, and how they may fill that gap. But boy, do I think they got a great season ahead.
Yeah, with the bullets, when I hear the bullets, I think of Buck Williams. I've mentioned on pods before, it seems like anytime I'm not getting a player in free agency, it's because I got outbid by the bullets, kind of like you were talking earlier. So clearly, they like the same kinds of players I do. The one thing that I am very, you know, I think the Bullets will be one of two teams that's vying for the Atlantic this year, and we'll get to the other one in a minute. They've got a very strong front court. I'm a little more worried about their back court. The other thing I would be worried about if I was the Bullets, and we just talked about it a few minutes ago, is who do they have to insure in training camp next year? Nance, Chambers, Buck, John Long, no, Terry Teagle, John Bagley. So that's five players right there, and maybe they want to, you know, insure a couple more. So that's not going to be a fun build. They've got some decisions coming that they're going to have to make, but I think they, at least to me, they look like they're going to be competing in the East for quite some time to come, and I think part of the reason they haven't gotten to the big dance yet is the Bucks. The Bucks have just been running roughshod over the East, but I think the Bullets at some point are liable to break through.
Yeah.
All right. I'll take the next one, and that's the Knicks. The Knicks are the other team, briefly, that I think has a good chance to take the Atlantic Division, and most of that can be attributed to Moses Malone, but also Bernard King. And when I think of the Knicks, I think of big swings and big stars. I think of when they started the league, they had Dr. J. They haven't been afraid to bring in guys that are, I would say, more in their prime. You know, King is 28 right now. Moses is 29. They've got 3, 4, 5 good years in them, and so I think that's fine. But what I think most defines the Knicks is their ability to reload. They've been very good at reloading every year or two. And because of that, I'm not too worried about them like I am with the Bullets of, oh my gosh, training camp is going to eat them alive with insurance. I mean, they've got Trent Tucker, and that's maybe David Greenwood, but I think he has a birthday this year. So, yeah, maybe Steve Stepanovich, but they're easily in their free trainings, and all their big stars are in their prime. So this is as good a year as any for them to make a play for the brass ring.
Yeah, yeah. For me, I really associate the Knicks with Johnny Moore. And that's a personal thing, because I made a max bid on Johnny Moore, didn't get him, because I sent my bids to Big Daddy instead of the negotiator. I will always think about what possibility or how many championships I could have won if I had only sent my bids to the negotiator and actually signed Johnny Moore. So Johnny Moore is forever a Nick to me, and forever my association. I really wanted to pair more with Moses, and that was just another behind-the-scenes reason that I was really happy to see him land in New York.
Now you get to see what could have been.
Exactly.
All right, you want to take the Nets?
I do. Chocolate Thunder, next. No, I'm just season one of the new Sim League was just such an exciting time. No one really knew what to expect. Everything was wide open. We all had such even teams. I never really experienced anything like it. All seasons that I'd been a part of before were about anywhere from 4 to 9 teams that are really going for it, and the rest of the teams kind of sitting back and tanking. Everybody had a reason to go for it this year, and nobody saw the Nets coming. Nobody saw Chocolate Thunder just being as dominant as he was as a green current player. And he really took that team all the way. It was such an exciting time. And I think they're about to kind of, well, their win-loss record isn't really indicative of what I think is to come this season, but I do think they're going to have a comeback real soon.
Yeah, that was a legendary run from Chocolate Thunder. I'm curious to see as time goes on. I think right now Daryl Dawkins is the face of the Nets. If I had to say who I thought is the secondary face of the Nets, it's not a face, it's more a leg, Fat Lever. I think he has a very good chance, let's say, over the next 5 years to become the face. Cliff Robinson is an interesting proposition for me. He was kind of the right-hand man, and he was the super young, growing star. What I wish I saw more from him was growth. And this season, I'm assuming it's law of small numbers because his field goal percentage has dropped off a cliff, and that's taken his points with it.
Yeah.
But I think that's going to come back because, you know, again, I've got no reason to believe he's gotten any worse. And, you know, he's a 6'9 small forward that is just an absolute terror. So, you know, I don't know that I like the Knicks quite, or sorry, the Nets quite as much as I like the Knicks and the Bullets. I do think they're a half step behind. I think there is a timeline in which they could win the Atlantic. I just trust Moses a little more than I trust Daryl Dawkins, having had to go against him so often.
Yeah, yeah. I circling back to the Knicks real quick, they are underperforming what I thought they would do so far. I do see they are 8-2 in the last 10. So that is certainly encouraging. But, yeah, I'm with you. I'm with Moses over Chocolate Thunder. I am biased. But I do agree that perhaps this year the Knicks will have a leg up on the Nets.
All right, I'll go next, and I'll take the 76ers. The one thing that I think of when I think of this team is Gary. Unfortunately, it's not a player yet. When I take a look at the team, they've been kind of a revolving door, but you know, this season it's very easy to see why they're underperforming. They are 23rd in the league in total rebounds. They are 23rd in the league in total points. They are 23rd in the league in fouls. They are 23rd in the league in points per shot. And part of that is they have basically nothing up front. So I think if I was in Gary's shoes, I would be angling for two things. Number one, I would be angling for a focal star for this team. And even if that's in the backcourt, that's fine. Ainge isn't doing it for me. He's averaging 13 points a game. I think that's a career high. Yeah, 13.6. He had 13.5 last year. Ainge ain't it. Sorry. You need a transcendent star. So find yourself a transcendent star and hang on to him, and then get yourself some bigs. That's the advice I have for the 76ers, or it's going to be a long season.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly when Michael Thompson left, but that would be a very nice player to have on this team right about now. I love Gary. He's hilarious.
I love his drawings.
GMing a sim league team is not his strength, but when he does show up with a few drawings and four or five media pieces at a time that are just wild, it's always a good time. So
sometimes it's more important to be a fun GM than a good GM.
Absolutely.
Best of luck season. Statistically, half of us are below average.
Yeah, that's true. But as far as the fans in Philadelphia go, best of luck over the coming decades. Could be a long time, but at least you'll have some entertaining headlines.
All right. You want to take the Celtics?
Yeah. So the Celtics are, as far as I'm concerned, Ralph Sampson and now Hakeem Olajuwon as well. This is a front court that is going to be insane, but with everything else they have going on right now, which is nothing, I'm not sure how they're going to build around this front court. And, you know, every time I see Cliff Levingston on this team, I think of Cliff Robinson and think he's a cheap knockoff. And that's just me being weird. But yeah, Cliff Levingston is not going to offer anything for this team or Ralph or Hakeem. So looks like the Celtics are going to add Chris Mullin. Because
they did win their last game, you know, early overreactions. Now they're on a one-game win streak. They're going to go 67-15.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Maybe they'll be the team that injures Magic.
I do think it's ironic that the team that they beat was the Bucks, who have been complaining so much.
Is that right? Oh,
it is.
Wow.
Sometimes wow. Life is hilarious.
That is fantastic. That's what Doug gets for all that trolling.
Yeah, but I will say, as I mentioned on the Discord channel, you know, I was disappointed the one season he did try because I had his pick. But yeah, in all seriousness, you know, we all know what the Celtics are doing, and it's loading up for the future, and they're quite fine with not winning a lot of games right now, and that's okay. You know, not everybody can be in the championship race every year.
Yeah, and I guess the last thing I'll say about you know, benching Dennis Johnson is I wonder where he's headed, because does he really need to be benched for three Sims? I mean, of all the okay, maybe you got Moses Malone or Magic locked up in a deal. That's a day 60 deal, and you really want to protect that player. Is Dennis Johnson that player that you really, really need to bench him for three Sims? No disrespect to the guy, but I think Charlie could have played him, and I doubt he would have been injured. I would say that injury page at its longest is maybe 25 players, and they're 500 in the league, 600.
Yeah, besides, it wouldn't have mattered. He played Sim 1. Injuries were off.
So there you go, Charlie. You should have played Dennis Johnson. And that's how I will always remember them, as the team that did not play Dennis Johnson.
Which is ironic, because in real life, DJ was a big Celtic at this point in the 80s. Speaking of big Celtics at this point in the 80s, the Bucks. Kevin McHale is having a season. Yeah. Problem is, Magic is having like twice the season. I know there were people, you know, McHale's going to be MVP, and I went and I looked up his VA, and it was about 150, which is really good for this early in the season. The Magic was near 300. Oh, okay, it's another Magic Johnson MVP season.
Yeah.
We've already talked quite a bit about the downside that the Bucks had with the Andrew Toney TC, but, you know, they're the reigning champs, and until somebody knocks them off, they're still scary. I think they're probably still the favorites in the East. I know everybody talks about Doug tearing the team down and building them up, but really, once he's gotten McHale rather, and Terry Tyler in place, he's kind of stuck with them. I do think at some point he flips either Alvin Robinson or Stephen Floyd, because they're a lot the same player, and I think he'd like to get a true center. I know he likes playing McHale at power forward, and Perkins isn't there yet. So if I'm thinking, you know, what does Doug have up his sleeve, it's probably trading either Robinson or Floyd for a big.
Yeah, I think that's the move. I cannot confirm or deny that was discussed in the off season with a team I may or may not manage, but I don't disagree with that assessment.
The other thing that scares me about the Bucks is, you know, Nymphaeus has a 92 block, McHale 95, Tyler 99. I mean, just like the Lakers are starting everybody with all the assists, these guys are starting everybody with all the block shots.
Yeah, that is remarkable. It's surprising to me that they only lead the league by two blocks a game. When you got that lineup, maybe that's just not the kinds of numbers that Sim players are putting up yet, but it seems like a 20-block-a-game team.
Yeah, it takes me back to the very first pod going into the creation draft where I was talking about you can either try to build a balanced team or you can try to build a everything in one bucket team, and they clearly went everything in the block bucket, and it's working for them.
Yep.
All right, you want to roll with the Pistons next?
Yeah, the Pistons. All right, the Pistons are Terry Cummings, and that's it. They're the Terry Cummings team.
And Pat Cummings.
I did not know they had Pat Cummings until you said that.
The law firm of Cummings and Cummings.
There's a that's what she said joke in there somewhere, but anyway, this team is really good. Michael Ray Richardson is someone that I felt was, for lack of a better term, a fake blue player. But he does seem to be a very appropriate role player on this team. It seems like this team has a full starting five now. That is really translating to wins. So, this is probably for my vote the best turnaround team of Sim League. I didn't have them on my radar whatsoever last year, and all of a sudden they're 12-4, and I see why.
I think the Kevin Willis was a good pickup, and let's put a pin in that fake blue player. I'm going to come back to that at some point. I'll go ahead next and take the Bulls. For me, the Bulls, I was going to say they were defined by Alex English coming over from the Nuggets, but then they swapped him out for Calvin Natt. So can I just say the Bulls are a very strong scoring small forward? maybe it's Logan. I mean, you know, they have the Tree Rollins pickup, which I love. I mean, Logan has done an amazing job here of putting together a team that's deep and balanced. And I think if the Bucks weren't a part of the division, he probably would have one or two division titles and possibly a league crown by now. You know, going back to how the team's going to finish, I think the Bucks are going to finish atop the division, but I think it's going to be the Pistons and the Bulls battling it out for second, and maybe not quite as far away from the Bucks as we all think.
Yeah, this Bulls team is serious. I really, really was disappointed to see them fall to injuries last playoffs. I thought they were maybe the team to beat, maybe the team to upset the Bucks, and they definitely made some changes. Like Mark Eaton's gone. I initially did not favor that deal because I just did not think very highly of Purvis Short, but he is far and away having the best season of his career. So he's really making me eat my words, and that trade is looking a lot better than I thought it would.
Yeah, I think my distaste towards Mo Cheeks is probably well documented at this point. In real life, he was a lovely human being. I don't want to do that, but in Sim League, I just haven't felt that he was a number one talent, but now he doesn't have to be a number one. He's got Calvin Natt. He can be a great number two, and I think that suits his skill set very well. So, you know, I really, as you mentioned, I like the fit of this team, and I think this season they're deep enough to withstand an injury or two, which I don't think they were last season.
Indeed. Absolutely.
All right. You want to take the Pacers?
Yeah. The Pacers have maybe my personal favorite Sim League player, Joe Barry Carroll. I've loved this guy ever since he appeared in 1980. I love this guy. I wish he was on my team. I wish I had him playing next to Moses Malone. I've always just been a huge Joe Barry Carroll fan. That pairing with Adrian Danley has always been deadly. For some reason, I thought their ages were a lot further apart. Maybe that's just because Danley was kind of an established event, while Joe Barry Carroll was a rookie, but this duo is this team's success. And I can't really associate the Pacers with anybody other than Joe Barry Carroll and Adrian Dantley. That's the Pacers. I see all these other names on the page. Kareem, like, wow, Kareem's on this team too. No, they're just Joe Barry Carroll and Adrian Dantley to me.
Yeah, at least through the first five seasons of Sim League, I would tend to agree with you. Instead of the, you know, the 90s Jazz being Stockton to Malone, the 80s Sim League Pacers are Dantley and Carroll.
Yeah. It's
just, you know, one name.
Yep.
And they've been fun to watch. The Cavaliers, we already talked about a little bit, but I'll kind of, you know, go back to them briefly. You know, again, it's Moncrief and Paxson who have been great on the wings. What they've struggled to find has been a second big next to Mahorn, and their point guard situation has been a bit up and down. Right now, they're using Johnny Davis. I'm not sure whether or not Ray Williams might not be the better choice. He's certainly the better offensive option. And I think maybe I would give John Paxson's minutes to Ray Williams. I understand John Paxson is your player of the future, but his offense is so raw and he doesn't give you anything in the way of rebounding or really defense. So take Paxson's minutes and give them to Williams and see if that helps. All that said, I think the Cavaliers, after a couple of strong playoff seasons, they're going to struggle this season until they get another big.
Yeah, this is a Moncrief and Jim Paxson team, not John Paxson. And I think Chuck Nevitt's the only player over 7'4" in Sim League. Give him more than a minute on the floor.
Isn't Mark Eaton 7'4"?
Well, Chuck Nevitt's 7'5".
Oh, okay, yeah.
So sure. Tallest player in Sim League, let's get him some floor time. Just see what
happens. Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
All right, and the Hawks we already talked about a little bit. You know, to revisit them, you know, I think they, you know, again, I'm surprised they moved off of Elo. I thought they could have stayed with him a little longer. I feel like Syndicate is trying to make moves to compete now, but Harper and Barkley are too raw to make win-now moves. I think you need to accumulate pieces for another season or two until they grow into themselves, and then you'll be ready to make win-now moves, but that's just me. If you ask me who the quintessential Atlanta Hawk is, even though he's not a Hawk anymore, it's Dan Brownfield, because they stole him from me.
Yeah, for me, the quintessential Hawk is Jeff Ruland, because it was, my opinion, a questionable pick as high as it was in the draft. I can't remember if it, I think it was actually number two.
I think you're right, yeah.
I didn't like it as a number two pick, but that was back when the Hawks were managed by Cash Cab, who is Lazy Titan's brother. And I think Lazy Titan encouraged the picking of Jeff Ruland, because I think if Lazy Titan had the number two pick, that's who he would have picked for the Lakers.
Considering he's there now, that's not a far-fetched theory.
Yeah, so he seems to be working out all right on the Lakers, but for a team that didn't have a lot going on, Ruland was not the guy. There were other options that were immediate, you know, offensive punches, just out the gate, all-star level numbers could have been put up, and it wasn't the move. So for that reason, I always think of Jeff Ruland as a Hawk.
Liquor, don't drink that.
Why?
Mine.
Oh.
This message brought to you by the United States Department of Condescending Paternalism.
This week on Zenora, Queen of Battle, a plan is hatched.
Zenora, what should we do?
We'll have to make them think we're enemies. Quick, fake a catfight.
Ah! My hair!
And a friendship is strengthened.
That catfight got me so dusty.
Here, let me give you a sponge bath.
All on the next Zenora.
Hello, you've reached the offices of McClintock and McClintock. If you're calling for McClintock, press 1. If you're calling for the other McClintock, press 2. If you're calling for customer service, press 3. If you're not calling for customer service or for either of the McClintocks, please go out in your backyard and hit yourself in the head with a hammer now. If you don't have a hammer, press 4. If you don't have a backyard, press 5. If you don't have a head, press 6. If you're just calling to annoy us, please wait for the beep, then hang up.
All right, moving on to the kings. I think of Darth Vegito. I mean, for all of the guff that Doug gets for tearing his teams down and building them back up and tearing them down and building them back up, I feel like the Kings have had more iterations in the past 5 seasons than the Bucks have. Their entire team is new this season.
Yeah, I was just about to pull up their roster from last year and compare. Last year, Mike Kaminsky, Bernard King, Vinny Johnson, Calvin Natt, Andrew Toney, Al Lavelle. None of these players are on this team this year.
They've got a Reggie King.
We got to have a king, guys. We got to have a king.
It's in the name.
But yeah, we have Bulls players, Bucks players, the Spurs, Eddie Johnson. You know, this is an amalgamation of other people's teams from last year, and it's certainly not a bad team. I think after winning a ship, trying to run it back and not having success, he saw it was time to just do something else. And he did just that, and it is a pretty damn good team. The best or one that can compete with the Lakers, I don't know, but
see, for me, the player that I think of when I think of the Kings, and I told you we'd put a pin in this and come back to it, is the fake blue Mike Gminsky. Darth is arguing he's a fake blue, he's a purple. No, he's a blue. Let me show you what a purple looks like. His name is Magic Johnson. I mean, you know, you look at, you know, we've had several players with purple potential, and I think your Daryl Griffith made purple current this year. But in the history of Sim League so far, there have been, prior to this season, one purple current player, and that was Magic. And Gminsky's good. He ain't no Magic. Sorry.
Neither is Daryl Griffith.
We're getting there. We're getting there. Yeah, but the idea is, you know, Darth will always hype his own players. He likes to hype himself. He and Doug both. Sometimes it's half trolling, which is fine. But I look at Darth, and the one habit that he has, that he's always had, and this was with King and with Nat and now with English and Gervin and Johnson, Darth loves offensive superstars. And I know he's got Michael Cooper to balance that out defensively, but his heart, I think, has always been with the 30 and 10 guy. So when you build yourself an offensive star, be prepared for Darth to come calling.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's still got Eddie Johnson, Alex English, George Gervin, just kind of shoehorned with Alton Lister and Michael Cooper to seem like it's balanced out.
All offense or all defense?
Yeah.
All right, coming off the Kings, would you like to talk about the Spurs some more?
Not a lot else to say. Really not a lot, just Easy can just leave Sim League for the next 10 seasons and probably pick up 4 or 5 championships.
Yeah, the one thing that I would be concerned about, and I'm sure he is that Among all of his star wings, none of them is a very good rebounder. He needs to put somebody next to Gminski to grab some rebounds to really lock things down. He has proven that he's willing to do that when he traded away Eddie A. Johnson to get Gminski. Is he willing to trade away one more of his wings for a big? That remains to be seen. And if so, which one? And we talked about TC insurance. That's the other thing is, there's, I think five guys that you could play at positions 1, 2, and 3, and there's only so many minutes there. You should probably move one, but which one's the right one to move and who's the right person to move him for? I don't know. That's Easy's problem.
Yeah. He may or may not have been a contender for the Moses lottery, which would have helped, especially if he was, since he proved he was in the Gminski lottery, what a front court that could have been. But I think you highlighted a potential way to keep this team at bay, not just now, but also in the future. Looking at the rebound leading teams like the Bucks, the Warriors, still without. I wonder if that has anything to do with Robert Parrish. Blazers, Bulls, Bullets, Mavericks, all these teams can out rebound the Spurs. Maybe that's the ticket.
Yeah. All that said, I think the Spurs win the Midwest this year for reasons I already discussed with point differential.
Absolutely.
All right. How about the Mavericks? When you think Mavericks, who do you think of?
So the Mavericks, I feel like, have been a very quiet team. I think of K100, and that is because of old Sim League. He was the GM of the Sixers. I think he may have pivoted to another team at some point, but this guy took out some of my best teams and won finals. not against me, because he took me out in the playoffs and then went on to win the finals, but I've been waiting to see what K100 is going to do. I don't think this team is it yet, but I see that he is starting to make moves and improve, and I'm really excited to see what he does. For the time being, Jack Sikma at shooting guard. What the hell, bro?
I was looking at the exact same thing. That's a big shooting guard.
I guess just Jack Sikma and shooting guard. That's the Mavericks.
Yeah, well, I look at Sikma, and this goes back to what we were talking about, with rebounding. He's got Sikma at shooting guard, and then, you got Lambeer and Bowie. That's a way to get them all on the floor. I figured he was going to have Sikma backing him up, but nope. He's going for all the bigs. He's going for the triple towers, so we'll see when the Celtics get that number one overall pick, if they go for Mullen or if they try to go Ewing to get the triple towers.
Oh, wow. That would be cool.
It would be interesting for sure.
Yes.
All right. Next up is the Nuggets. When I think of the Nuggets, I also think of Down Roundfield, but that's because that's where I traded to get him from. But really, when I think of the Nuggets, I think of Clyde Drexler. Drexler, I think, was one of those players that when everybody saw him, everybody thought, ooh, that guy looks like Jordan. And he does kind of look like Jordan, except for the scoring. And I think the scoring is coming along a little more slowly than maybe Jedi Hero would like. But I do like the slow build, the slow burn that the Nuggets are doing. Like most teams, I think they would really love to find one more legitimate big. But the other thing I always kind of chuckle to myself about, and Doug is going to love hearing this, is Louis Orr. And everybody kind of laughed when Doug signed Louis Orr. They laughed when I picked him up. They laughed when I traded him to Denver. And all he's done in Denver is average 16, 22, and 19 points a game. So, is he a superstar? No. Is he getting paid like a superstar? Also, no. He's on half a max. Would you, like to pay half a max for 20 points a game? Probably.
Yep. Definitely. What a steal.
So, good signing, Doug.
Gotta hand it to him. For me, the Nuggets is always 15 points for pair. So, next.
Oh, that's where that came from. Okay. The Rockets, 78 even listens to this podcast. The Rockets are Larry Bird and not insuring him in TC.
Yeah.
They're probably also the draft pick of Frank Johnson.
Yeah.
The Rockets are the team that zigs when everybody else is zagging.
Yeah. Artis Gilmore. He was somebody that I was strongly considering nabbing in the creation draft. And ultimately he went to Houston in the second round. And I think that was such a stellar signing. But he is no longer that same stellar player. I'd be surprised if he doesn't decline that team option. Because I think it's time to maybe just restructure this entire team.
Yeah, I think the Bird and Burnsong pairing had some potential. They just haven't been able to get much around it. And I think I don't want to dogpile 78 or pile on him when he's down, but I really think him being inactive in free agency periods has really hurt.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a ton of signings coming out of the Rockets. Maybe he has been active and they just haven't made competitive offers. I don't know. But I think, one monster free agent signing for the Rockets really could have changed their trajectory. It just hasn't happened.
Totally.
All right. The Jazz. It's Kiki. And it's Kiki. He signed away from them. Sorry, exist.
Oh. Heartbreaking.
Although this season, I will say the big surprise for me has been Jeff Lamp. I thought Jeff Lamp was maybe the worst of the blue potential players that was hanging around in free agency. And he's averaging 25 points a game, so it shows you what I know.
Well, he is averaging 25 a game on 23 from the field. So maybe your assessment wasn't too far off.
Yeah, what is it, Patrick Ewing? We make a lot of money, but we spend a lot of money. He makes a lot of shots, but he takes a lot of shots.
Yeah, he should be taking more jump shots just based on his current numbers. But 17 jump shots to 6 inside shots when he's shooting 60% inside and 37% from the outside. Oof. I'm glad he's averaging 25 a game for X's sake, because if he wasn't, that would be an even more rough offseason.
Yeah, and I was going to say one of these things is not like the others, but Exist kind of got off this once Kiki Vandeweghe left. But I thought the Leon Wood and Sadale 3 pickups were nice for the future, but they did break the mold of his team.
Yeah.
That was fun to watch, though, and it was incredible to watch him staying competitive while doing it. I wish he could have picked up Bird at some point. That would have been just amazing.
That was the missing piece that would have pushed this team over the top, no doubt.
All right, I'm going to start the Pacific with the Lakers. We already kind of talked about them. The Lakers, I don't think of Magic Johnson when I think of the Lakers. He's too new. When I think the Lakers, I think James Donaldson, but that's probably because I traded him there. That was when he got hurt in season one, and I was like, Bill Cartwright is just about the same player. Let me swap him out, and we'll go. And then Donaldson like had two TC boosts the next 2 years, and I was like, oh, that was something that came back to bite me in the butt. But But no, in all seriousness, he's had the revolving door of wings. But Donaldson, since he got him, has just been there and a rock and, just putting up solid big numbers, even as a solo big, for year after year after year. And, if I go back and I look at his shooting averages, in 1980, 57%, 57%, 64%, 61%. Ridiculously efficient, not going to hurt you. Magic is, of course, the engine that makes them go, but Donaldson is the bumper that lets them crush your car when it hits you.
I like that. For me, the Lakers are World Be Free and Jamal Wilkes, neither of whom are still there. So all we have left are really, really bad trade offers. Shots fired.
Dude, that's not fair. I just took a drink and nearly ruined my keyboard. I was about to say you were going to owe me a new keyboard. Oh, man. Okay, let's move on. Trailblazers, I'll let you take this one.
Oh, all right. Well, I just got to call it like I sees it. It's the jump team.
Boing, 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 boing.
You know, one thing that always impressed me and something I liked enough that I did try to replicate was just getting to the free throw line. This team just has always gotten to the free throw line so much more often than any other team. Even right now, it's got the league beat by 4 shots a game. I've been so impressed by how well this team, how good this team is at getting to the line. The funny thing to me was that they weren't very good free throw shooters once they got there. But it didn't matter so much because part of the strategy of drawing so many fouls is getting some of the other players that foul too much that might be otherwise good off the floor. So that's my assessment of that's the Trailblazer lore for me is the free throw emergence. That's not
so saying the best defense is 6 fouls.
that's not the pejorative I intended, but it is just like such a unique style of play that I hadn't seen from another GM in previous iterations. So I've always appreciated that about the Blazers, that and Jim Spanarkel.
Yeah, I love the name Spanarkel, as you can probably tell by the first pod. Let's see, I'll have you take the Clippers, so we'll flip it, and then I'll hit the Warriors. How about that?
Oh, fantastic. Clippers, thank you. The only team to beat the Magic Johnson Lakers this season. Somebody had to do it. You stepped up to the plate and got it done. Bless your heart. I always feel like the Clippers are as good as Raby wants them to be. If he's invested, they're good. If he doesn't give a shit, they're bad. So right now, I feel like Raby's invested and they're pretty good. I like their team. We did a lot of talks in the offseason. He was probably the team I wanted to dish Moses to the most, if I'm honest. But we couldn't get it done. It always makes sense to pass if the deal isn't right for both sides. So we passed ultimately, and it seems like after a juggernaut of Sims opening his season and at least one more really tough Sim ahead, I think this team is going to be 50-55 win team.
All I can say is I'm not sure I would have wanted to have Magic and Moses in LA.
Fair enough.
Yeah, the thing that I, when I think about the Clippers, I think about is Reggie Theus, the beta player. that's been kind of a fun one beta to watch with Chad and Raby there. All right, let's move on to the Warriors. I'll take this one if that's okay. We no longer have Moses Malone. Thank goodness. Do you have any idea how tiring it was to bang my head against those two towers year after year after year? It's a team now. You know, when I think of the Warriors, I think of Moses, Moses, Moses. They're like, what am I supposed to think? I still have like, you know, I remember watching a documentary of Daryl Dawkins talking about the 1980 finals and how he was having nightmares of trying to guard Kareem and, you know, Skyhook, Skyhook. Skyhook, I have like PTSD from trying to guard Moses, just, you know, 40, 40, 40. So I'm glad Moses is gone. You know, Parrish is scary, but he's not Moses scary. Wow. What I'm going to be interested to see and you know, is how quick Daryl Griffith transforms this franchise and makes it his own. I think it's still coming from Moses. It's probably still belonging to Robert Parrish. So we'll see how quickly Griffith makes things his own. The thing I would be disappointed in, if I were you, is Griffith's purple, so I can't tweak him and improve him. I've got to just play him as he is. So maybe you're going to look for somebody else. That said, what would my one wish be? To see more Cedric Maxwell after the offseason, where the lore was that he spent the entire time drinking gravy.
Second year with the Warriors, I really like Cedric Maxwell. May he drink the gravy.
We got two teams left. The Sonics. I kind of dumped on David earlier, so why don't you build him up, and then I'll build him up too, and then we'll get to the Suns.
Perfect. I love the Sonics. I feel like the win-loss record accrued this year and last year, for that matter, is not indicative of the team that David has put together. I like the squad a lot. I did last year too. I think Wilkins is still a little undercooked, but I fully expect this team to be one that I would not want to see in the playoffs if I were to make it to the playoffs. And why are they a 500 team? They had Nets, Lakers, Blazers twice. So they've had an arguably tough schedule to start the season, but I think they're going to get better from here. I don't see them tied with me. I think they're a better team than the Warriors this year.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I think, and this is just, you know, me looking at them, I think this is a team that, outside of Dominique, who is an offensive force, and you need at least one offensive star to carry you. It's a team that is built around defense. We know Eaton is an exceptional post defender. Yeah. Danny Shays is a good post defender. Michael Thompson is a good post defender. Darwin Cook and Ricky Green are probably the best defensive backcourt in the league. So it's very clear what he's building to here. Everybody else, you know, we talked about how Chad loves offense. It feels like, with the exception of Dominique, and I get it because you need at least one offensive superstar to hang your hat on, David loves defense. And I wonder if he's spotted defense as a market inefficiency. I know I mentioned on my last pod with Raby that when I was going through the creation draft, I was like, there are not a lot of good defenders. And when I look at the Sonics, I see a lot of good defenders. I think it wouldn't surprise me at some point if he tried to get Michael Cooper away from the Kings, but he can do just fine without Michael Cooper. I think when the season finishes up, he's going to be in the playoffs again. He was there last season. He'll be there this season. Quite honestly, I think the Western Conference is going to be a bloodbath again. I think that the teams that get the byes are going to be very happy that they got the buys for winning their divisions, but everybody else, you know, the sixth seed is going to be no pushover. So the 3 seed, 4 seed, 5 seed, doesn't matter. You're playing a tough team.
Absolutely. And I don't know when Darwin Cook got boosted to blue, but nice. Especially with a under 300K team option next year. Very nice.
Yep. Yeah, I think he's going to have to pay Darwin in a couple of years, but he's going to make hay until then.
Absolutely.
All right. The last team on the list is the Lakers, or the Lakers, the Suns. I think, you know, they sent Magic away, and Magic is a Laker in my head, and now he is in the league. But, you know, so the John Stockton Suns, who had like 5 point guards and wasted no time sending them all off so that John would be able to play the starting point guard spot. But, you know, I look at their roster and I'm like, Bob Wilkerson, Terrence Stansbury, Ennis Watley, Quinn Buckner, Ronnie Lester are all listed as point guards. It's like all point guards, and, you know, oops, we had a couple of other guys. So the Suns forever have been Magic, but I guess they're now Stockton.
Yeah. Yeah, the Suns were Magic. You know, they won the Creation Draft Lottery and rightly picked Magic Johnson and were great for a few seasons and now they're not. I think like most GMs had conversations with Dr. Kavarga when Magic hit the market. I was obviously exploring a Moses Magic swap with maybe sprinkling some extras into it. And the opening reply was somebody else has you beat. And I took that personally. I was like, beat? I was having a conversation, bro. So whatever you're on, like, have fun with that. And then he got hosed by the Lakers. So anyway, I think the Suns have a long way to go to recover from that trade, and I do not think that recovery process has anything to do with continuing to trade with the Lakers. Dr. Varga, if you're listening, stop trading with LTS. He is mocking you, okay? Stop. Please stop.
I will say, and I posted this on the Discord when that second trade of World Be Free, I think it was Larry Smith, not Larry Johnson, went through. I actually thought Kavarga won that trade, maybe not on the salaries, but in terms of the talent for sure. Because as we mentioned earlier, Smith cannot stay on the floor. Free is averaging 24, 25 points a game. To me, the Suns remind me of the comments we made earlier about they have their big three, Brownfield, who's old, World Be Free, who's old, John Stockton, who's young, but they got nothing else, and that's just not enough anymore. You need to have the depth, and it's going to take them some time to accumulate the depth. I don't think Enes Watley is the answer. And so to me, now for Dr. Kavarga, the hard work of starting to identify what do they call them? Undervalued assets or underutilized assets on other teams begins. Going back to the conversation we had before, I will use this as an example, not because I'm trying to hype up the player because I'm trying to trade him, but Jim Sponarkle has just been there and solid on my bench. Yeah, he's been doing 12 points a game off the bench for the last 5 seasons. If you grabbed him and started him, is he going to average 25? No. He's a bench player, maybe a borderline starter in a pinch, but that's the kind of player you need to be finding. You need to find the guy that's going to be rock solid off the bench, or the guy who is currently on the bench, but if you gave him starters minutes, would actually produce. Who those guys are, I'm not going to tell you because I want to go get them. It's not Spinarkle. Stay away from Spinarkle.
Nice.
All right, so I think that gives us a chance to have taken a look at everybody's team. Is there anything else you wanted to discuss on this week's episode, or shall we wrap it up? I'm sure we're over an hour at this point.
Oh yeah. This has been a blast. I'm glad to have chopped up some league with you for this long, and quite honestly honored to an extent because when I joined Sim League, it was Sim year 2027, 2028. Doug had just won a championship. You had recently left the league, and the lore of Wig persisted. And I always wondered, who is this guy? What is his deal? Like, how is he so good? And I've gotten to experience that now, and I've got to share a pod with you now, and it's all come together. So, yeah, this was a personal thrill. The Sim League child in me had his sim dreams come true to share a pod with you. So, yeah, I'm just thrilled to have recorded this with you, and it was a blast.
All right, yeah, we'll have to do it again. I like the back and forth pods a lot better than I like listening to myself talk for an hour. So, again, let's try to make it a trend this season. We've had the JNR, we've had Greeple, so whoever wants to be next, hit me up. You got a week. Let's get in here.
Dr. Kavarga, call in.
Maybe we should make this season the Pacific Division. We'll just go through the Pacific and get all the other GMs in there.
That would be sick. I'd love to hear
LTS can get in
David
and
too.
rebut everybody's dunking on him.
All
All right, All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Chat with a Cat. We'll be back next week, probably after Sims 6, doing it a little earlier this week. Actually, yeah, maybe not. I'm probably going to be traveling next week, so maybe after Sim 5. But anyway, we got that going on. So, again, if you're interested in appearing on Chat with a Cat, please reach out. Until then, we'll see everybody in the Sim universe. Watch out for my elbows. Ha ha ha.